Hello, everyone. It is so good to see you in the house today. My name is Elliot. My wife, Tiffany, and I have the great privilege of pastoring this group of people called Lifeline Church. Come on, give it up for yourselves because you're amazing. Let us know in the comments where you're watching from today. Who are you watching with? Come on, we love to see the engagement. We love to see the involvement. So please let us know where you're at, who's with you, what's going on. Engage with us. I give you permission to talk in church. I believe that you are not here by accident. I believe that God has been preparing a message of hope, encouragement, and love that he wants to speak into your life. Amen. If you believe that, type amen. Do it in all caps this time. Come on. All caps. Come on. Does Facebook or YouTube have italics? We don't need that. Just all caps right there. Amen. I believe that. I want to receive that too in my life. Before we jump into the message today, I want to thank you for your extreme generosity. Yet again, I'm just so blown away. This last week, we had Giving Tuesday. We had people give towards that. And because of your generosity, we've been able to do so much. We've been able to drop joy bombs off to people. We've been able to help people with outstanding bills who are out of work. We've been able to do something really special for Mother's Day. If you know, you know. And because of your generosity, we're able to do all kinds of things. You know what we say, you don't give to a church, you give through a church. And you're impacting the community with your giving. If you like, there are multiple ways you can give, and I'm not saying you have to. I'm saying ask God what you should do and just do that. You can text 84321. You can click that Facebook donate button, which is the absolute best way you can do it. You can give on our website, and you can also mail something in to this address you're seeing right below me. Whatever you decide to do or not do, we're so grateful for your generosity. And look forward to being a lifeline in this community as our generosity allows us. Next thing I want to let you know about is our Zoom groups are still going so strong. And all you got to do is go to our website right here and click join a group. Join a group. The Zoom groups are going well. We even added another Zoom group this last week. And so there's no shortage of groups for you to be a part of. And one of those groups you can be a part of is Growth Track. That's right. If you want to join the worship team, if you want to join the outreach team, social media, tech, anything, these teams are all functioning right now. And so there are multiple ways that you can serve, be a part of this church community. I would love to meet you in that context. Go to the website and go ahead and join a Zoom group. So I've got a real quick I've got two messages today. I've got two messages, and my first one is going to be pretty quick, but my first message is a mini Mother's Day message. I like the M's. I used to make my mom a mega Mother's Day mix. Eric, I used to do that every single year. I used to like burn my favorite songs, and they were weird songs too. But you know, it's the thought that counts. And so I'm doing the same thing with the M's. I'm not doing the Mother's Day mix. I'm doing a mini Mother's Day message today. And point number one for the mini Mother's Day message is, moms are the best. They're the best. So don't forget to do something amazing for that special lady today. Point number two is this, moms are the greatest. Moms are the greatest. So get down on your knees and beg forgiveness for putting her through all of that junk you put her through as a kid. Somebody say amen. And point number three is this. Moms are super. Moms are super. I don't know why. I love that. So if you forgot point number one already, go out and do something amazing for your mom, the woman most like your mom, or the woman who mothers those kids of yours, okay? Moms are the best, moms are the greatest, and moms are super. Message over. See, honey? My wife doesn't think I can preach short messages, but there, see, I can do it. I can do it, babe. I can preach short messages, but I've got a whole nother one ready to go. And before I actually leave this one, Mom, if you're watching today, Cheryl Jones, I am proud to be a mama's boy with a mom like you. Oh, well, I mean it. I absolutely mean it. I love you. I hope you're watching, and I love you with all my heart. Thank you for everything you've ever done for me. And for the rest of the message today, okay, enough of the mushy stuff, okay? I've got all my personal stuff out of the way now. For the rest of the message, we're going to deal with some pretty fun stuff. The end times. Who's excited? Come on, anybody excited? I'm going to smile like this the whole message to just get used to it, because this topic actually really excites me, and there's nothing to be worried about or stressed out about on this topic. It's actually all good, especially if you are a believer, explicitly if you are a believer. The end times, are we living in them? How would we know? Is Jesus coming back soon? And what does that even mean? All great questions. And here to introduce that question is my friend Dean on a Zoom call. So check it out.
All right, Dean. Thank you for jumping on the Zoom call with us today. Why don't you go ahead and take a minute and introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, hey, great, Elliot. Thank you. My name's Dean Davis. I'm a happily married man and my best friend for 38 years, Jane. And we have three awesome kids all serving the Lord. We have 10 beautiful grandchildren. I will just say one of our granddaughters went home with the Lord a few months ago, which was very hard and painful. And it still is, but at the same time, we are all my family serves the Lord, and we know where she's at, and we're looking forward to seeing her again sometime, you know, soon. And, you know, Elliot, I got to know you and Lifeline Church because a foster child that my wife and I had way back when she was like 6, 7 years old called me and said, you know what, my mom and I are going to get baptized. I was blown away because we hadn't heard from him for a long time. They got baptized at your church. And so I went with them. And as I was there, I really felt like the Lord said, you know, this church could be a place of ministry for you. And then maybe I should be going there. And so I've been, you know, came there and I wasn't there for a little bit. Now I've been coming there again. Of course, now we're shut down.
Nobody's going anywhere now.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere now. But yeah,
unless we're on Zoom together, but.
Yeah.
It sounds like you got an awesome clan there. And I remember that baptism very well. And I remember meeting you and your family there. And that's, you have such a beautiful family. That's such a blessing. Of course, you know that, Dean. And so why don't you go ahead and introduce today's question to us and go ahead and just give us what you got.
Okay, Elliot, well, I have a major big question for you that may be too huge to take on, but I'm going to ask you the question. What are the days that we're living in? Are these the end times that the Bible speaks about? And I want to give you a quick reason why I'm asking that question, okay? Today, we have a worldwide lockdown, and people, saved or unsaved, are wondering, what is going on? Is God speaking to us as a people? Is he trying to get our attention? And one thing the Lord showed me is that every God that we worship throughout the whole world, every God that we worship besides our God has fallen. And if our God is the economy, it's fallen. If it's sports, it's fallen. If it's Hollywood, it's fallen. Everything has fallen. And God has given us an opportunity because he loves us so much to say, hey, listen, you know, you need to be paying attention. The time is coming short. And I want to share just a couple of scriptures with you, Elliot, as to why I think this is important. Because people lost or saved are all asking, what is going on? What does the Bible have to say about this? And that's the reason for my question. But, you know, as Christians, we know this verse. And this is what it says in Matthew. It says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father only. And so I think what's happened to the church is that we have taken that as, well, we don't need to pay attention. You know, it's nobody knows the day or the hour, so why worry about it? Why think about it? Why talk about it? And yet the Bible tells us over, you know, there's over 500 prophecies about Jesus' second coming. And so he wants us to be watching. My heart and passion has been Bible prophecy. I got saved by some kid in Georgia said, hey, you know, Jesus is coming back again. And I'm going to tell you something, Elliot. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know anything. I know now the Holy Spirit told me what he just told you is real. Mm. And so I've always had a passion for prophecy because that's how the Lord, you know, got a hold of me. Because I believe God's people are asking this same question. What can we do to be ready? What can we do? What does the Bible say? And so I'm really excited. I hope you take on this question. I'm looking forward to you sharing, you know, God's word with us about this subject. And I'm sorry, it's such a huge question.
I know it. I hope I do it justice. And we're going to tackle
you'll
that.
You'll do a great job.
We're going to tackle it right now.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Let's go.
So, as you can see, my friend Dean is very passionate about this topic. It actually led to his salvation, so I can totally understand why. But how come we don't hear much about this topic from pulpits these days? If you can't, this is a pulpit I'm standing behind right there. It's actually just a music stand, but forgive me. That's kind of what it's called. I mean, if you're over 40, I'm willing to bet you heard this topic in church almost weekly, is that the end is coming, that the end is there. But adversely, if you're under 40, like I am, you did not hear it as much. But that depends where you grew up. I actually have a friend who came over, visited me just the other day. My good, but he's a couple years younger than me, so he's in his early 30s. And he grew up someplace, I'm not going to say where exactly, but when he was growing up in church, I'm telling you, he was telling me this story. We were talking about all the things going on in the world, you know, coronavirus, what do you call them, murder hornets. We were talking about comets and stuff like that. And he said, you know what, it's kind of crazy, all this stuff going on. But when I was growing up, every single week, Jesus was coming back that week. His preacher, every single time, went up to the pulpit. It was, well, guys, this is going to be my last message because Jesus is coming back this week. Every single time. And that's kind of like all they talked about. And my friend was like, well, I that's cool and everything, but I wish he would have told me more of what to do in the meantime. But it seems to be like a generational thing. I don't know why that is. You know, the swing, it goes back and forth. You know, they talk about it a lot, and then that generation that gets raised up doesn't, you know, end up talking about it as much, and then it comes back. But you know what? The answer's a bit obvious, isn't it? We want to be right here. We want to have a very balanced and biblical approach to this subject, and we don't want to gloss over this. No, we want to talk about it. This is actually very exciting stuff. Very exciting. And so I don't want to be like my buddy's pastor, who's like the boy who cried wolf. I don't want to be that for you. I don't want to be that in general. I don't want to be the boy who cried wolf. But I need to tell you, it really could be any time. It could be any time. And when I say it, I'm talking about the day of the Lord. I'm talking about the return of Jesus. I'm talking about the end times. The rapture, Armageddon, the end, whatever you want to call it, I'm telling you, it could be any time. And that's not all that bad. See, I'm still smiling. It's good. I'm still smiling because it's not a bad thing. But it's only a bad day for those who are without Jesus. Okay, so if you're listening and that's you, I encourage you. I encourage you. There's going to be a day coming soon, whatever you call it. There's going to be a day coming soon that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because on that day, there will be no more questioning whether or not God is real, God exists. Nowadays, there's plenty of that. You know, I'm not sure. There's uncertainty. You know, among anybody, among everybody, there's uncertainty. You're not sure always. But on that day, we are all going to be certain. But as that song they used to sing long ago, the great treasure remains for those who gladly choose him now. You know, I was just humming that to myself before the message started today. The greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose him. That's where we want to be. We don't want to wait for that day to come and to have our knee forced down. We want to be right here. We want to be ready for his return. Ready for his return. Listen to this. We're going to be in Luke 21 for just a little while. Now, check this out. We're going to jump through, but listen to this. Luke 21, starting in verse 27 through 28. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand up and look, for your salvation is near. So what are these things that Jesus is talking about? If you back up, I encourage you to go back and read that whole chapter, chapter 21, because Jesus talks about a few things. He says, when you see these things, he said, many signs in the sun and the moon and stars. When you see these things, have we seen any signs in the sun, the moon, the stars lately? I don't know. How about Comet Atlas? How about Halley's Comet bringing in all these meteor showers? How about all these different things we're seeing? Yeah, we have seen. How about when Jesus talks about nations in turmoil? Yeah, that one's pretty obvious. How about Israel, the unexpected center of the universe, and China and the Middle East and the United States and everything that's always swirling around right there? When you see these things, Jesus said. How about, he also talks about pestilence. Murder hornets. It's not a joke. It's just one of those things, you know. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy, so when people are, but it's happening. There's things around, the exact things that Jesus said to watch out for. And plagues. He also said plagues. When you see, do I have to explain plagues to you? It's a sickness, people. It's a disease. We are definitely seeing a little bit of that. So I'm not a news reporter. I'm not a weather reporter. But I can report on some things. But to be honest with you, do I really need to? Do I even need to? Anybody with eyes to see, anybody with a Bible in their hand can say, look around. It's clear as day. It's clear as day that we are in these times. And Jesus said, we're all going to see these things. Listen to this in Luke 21, starting in verse 29. He gave them this illustration. Notice the fig tree. Look at the fig tree. Or any other tree for that matter. When the leaves come out, you know, without being told, because you can see, he's saying, that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, all these things that he was talking about in Luke 21, for one example, when you see these things taking place, you know that the season is drawing near. When you see all these things taking place, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. In case you need to know, this is what a healthy tree looks like. It's right there. See, it's green, pleasant, nice, okay? In case you weren't sure what a healthy tree looks like, there it is. And this is what an unhealthy tree looks like. It's on fire, people. It's clear as day to see when a tree is falling down. It's not producing. It's right there in my own home. When I walk into my front door, on my right, there used to be a little Japanese maple bush thing. And I look over, no leaves on it. I bend one of the branches, snap. Look, I'm not a botanist or anything, but I'm guessing that thing's dead. So I cut it down. He's saying it's not rocket science. Jesus is saying it's not rocket science. It's going to be clear for you to see the season changing. And part of my job as a shepherd, I'm a shepherd of this flock, as you might say. This is a church that Tiffany and I share the responsibility of covering this house. And our responsibility, we see as threefold, being the analogy of a shepherd: lead, feed, and protect. That's who we are. It's what we do. We lead people to places that they don't necessarily want to go or don't see themselves going, and we help them go there, and we help feed them the word of God, but we also protect when wolves try to come in, when things begin to happen. So crying wolf doesn't do me any good. I'm the shepherd. I'm the under-shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, and I'm the under-shepherd of this flock. So part of my job is to help you be prepared. It protects you. To help you be ready, it protects you. It protects you. But Jesus is saying this. These signs right here, it's like an earthquake. When an earthquake hits, the sheep don't need to look to the shepherd to say, is the ground shaking? Because everybody knows. The flock knows, the shepherd knows, everybody knows, because all you got to do is, you know, feel underneath your feet. He's saying this is like that. You will be able to see plain as day that this is what's going on. Jesus said, all you need to do is open your eyes and look around, and you will see the world not as it should be. And we should be ready for Jesus to help us. Jesus goes on to say this in Luke 21, starting in verse 34. He said, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing, which means partying, basically, and drunkenness, obvious, and by the worries of this life, meaning stressing out and just clamoring for every little problem or sickness that could happen or financial insecurity, the worries of this life. Don't let that day of the Lord, the rapture, the end times, don't let that day catch you unaware. We should never be unaware. Never be unaware. We should be ready all the time. Don't let it catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. You know what I love about that? That's really good news. I don't know if you picked up on this, because there's something that you may or may not understand what this means, but it's pre-tribulation or pre-millennial reign of Jesus. This is one of many biblical examples of when Jesus is describing and the Bible is describing that God is actually going to whisk his people away from the worst of the worst. And that, my friends, is great. Great news before it hits the fan. You know, I would never curse at you during a message, but before it hits the fan, Jesus is saying, don't you worry. If you're ready, you'll come with me. And it makes sense that way, you know, because we're called the bride of Christ. Did you know that in the Bible? We are called the bride of Christ. And he, Jesus, is our bridegroom. So, of course, it would make sense for the bridegroom to whisk away the bride, not drag her through the mud of the worst of the worst. No, he's coming back for his people and going to bring us out before it gets the worst of the worst. But these times are coming so that we can be ready. We can be prepared. I titled this message, Is This the End? I can't tell you with absolute certainty what day or what hour, but I can tell you this, the season sure looks like it. Come on, people, let's be ready. Let's stay ready to have Jesus whisk us away and be the bridegroom that he has been preparing for us. Listen closely. I am not saying I know when that day will come. And if I said I knew, I would be in direct biblical rebellion. I could never believe in the Bible and make the claim that I know exactly when that day would be. I'm going to give you three different scriptures on this so you can be sure, okay? Matthew 24, 36 says this, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, remember that word, seasons. Highlight it, underline it, click it, do whatever you got to do. Highlight that word, season. I'm coming back to that. Season, brother. You have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord, remember what I told you, the day of the Lord is that day, the end, the day when he's coming back, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, aka you won't see it coming. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord, again, the day of the Lord, you know that what that is because I just explained it to you, will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar. All that to say, ignore every billboard that has a date on it, okay? I give you permission to just ignore it. Every billboard with a date on it, you know better now. Now you know that cannot be true. That cannot be true. Why would God say it in his word that no one would know the day and the hour? Oh, but then somebody knows. That would just prove the Bible to be false, which we know that is never going to be possible. Never going to be possible. But I got a big but for you. Not my, okay. But Jesus said, you will see the season. How many of you know there's a big difference between a day and a season? You know, on our calendars at home, all y'all, I just went down south on you. All y'all have a day in your calendar that says summer, winter, whatever. But you know, that's just our way. We like to put numbers on things. But the way a season comes on is gradual. You wake up one morning, you look outside, and you see the leaves starting to change color. And you go, I think it's going to be fall pretty soon. And then you wake up the next day, you look out, oh, definitely, there it is. There's a big difference between at 8:44 a.m. on this date, it's going to be winter. No, that's not how seasons work. Seasons come in. And sometimes it comes in a little early, sometimes it comes in a little late. And that's why he uses that language. It's a season. Look at the season. Look at the fig tree or any tree, the way it gradually loses its leaves. That doesn't mean you won't know. It means you just won't know the moments. But we can see the season. We can see the season. Think about it. If he gave us a day and an hour, then why would we need to keep watch? We would just know. And we could just wait and hold our breath till the last minute. No, that's not how it was ever made to work. Okay, I gave you some facts. I gave you some updates. I gave you some scriptures. But now I want to share my heart with you. And this is very important to me because if you call Lifeline your home, and if I have the privilege of you calling me your pastor, that means God has entrusted things into my heart that I'm supposed to deliver straight to you. There's something very personal about belonging to a body of Christ. So I encourage you all to go through Growth Track if that's how you're feeling led, and to make that commitment, because in commitment, character grows. And so committing to that. And for those of you who do feel that way, I want to share with you something from my heart very personally on this topic. You know, eschatology is the study of end times. And I don't claim to be a major in any of these things. I know my strengths. And I do dabble. But my heart on this is something I really want to share with you comes out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting in verse 13. God says this, at times I might shut up the heavens so no rain falls, or command grasshoppers or locusts to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Let me get that straight. Drought, locusts, anybody know what's going on in Africa right now? And disease. Anybody know what's going on all across the world right now? Yeah, check, check, check. Okay, God, you have my attention. I'm listening. What do you want to say? Because this is too much to ignore right now. It's too much to ignore. We've got to be paying attention. And if you click this link with Church Online and is it the end? I need to let you know, man, this stuff is real. This stuff is real. Now, it doesn't mean you need to panic about anything. It just means we should be ready for what's really going on. God has my attention, so what should we do? And if God has your attention today, what should we do? Verse 14. Then, if my people, notice that. He's talking to Christians there. Because we're going to read the rest of this verse in a minute, and we would be tempted to say, oh yeah, all those heathens out there. Yeah, all those sinners. Yeah, they should pray and humble themselves. Yeah. We Christians, though, we know what we're doing. Yeah, we know our Bible real good. Yeah, I could quote scripture at you. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. My people humble themselves. Now, you need to know something about me very personally. I don't know if it's the way I was raised. I'm going to stop for a second, and I'm going to start this again. I don't know how long that wasn't recording for, but here we go again. Let me try and mix this in, Josiah. Do your best. Oh, it's stopping all over the place. Oh, man, it keeps stopping. Keep it rolling, guys. Man, movie recording has been stopped automatically. Slow card write speed. Man, oh, man. Maybe if I change the frame rate? My SD card is top of the line. Yeah. I got exactly what they recommended. Okay, it's going now. If we don't have it, we don't have it later. We would be tempted to say it's all those heathens, you know, all those sinners. They better humble themselves. They better pray. He's talking to us. Now, I don't know. You need to know something about me. That the topics of humility and pride, they stick very, very deep in my heart. And there's something very special about those two things that when I see humility, I absolutely love it. And there's nothing you can do wrong. If you've got humility, you could really do no wrong in my sight, in a manner of speaking. And if there's pride, I don't care what you're doing, what you're saying. I just can't stand it. And I have a feeling that's kind of God's heart too, because he goes on to say this, my people need to humble themselves. My people need to kick it down a notch and see where they should humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. Listen, everybody, humility, repentance, and prayer are the answer to all of this. Humility, repentance, and prayer. And notice that God's not talking about the world's problems. He's talking about his own people's pride. Prideful Christians, as if there's a pandemic among Christians right now called pride. Oh, I hope it's not so. And it's arrogance. You know, the devil was patient zero with the sin epidemic in our world. Did you know that? Yeah, he was patient zero, and his first symptom was pride. The devil was patient zero, and his first symptom was pride. Ever since then, sin spread like wildfire all throughout the world. You know, if you need help understanding this topic, I encourage you to read Romans 14. Romans 14, which starts out saying, don't argue among Christians about what you think is right and wrong. I see so much of it these days, and it bothers me to no end. Maybe it's that thing about arrogance and pride that I hate so much, and when I see it in myself, I hate it. When I see it in others, I hate it. But God is saying in Romans 14, you should not be arguing amongst yourself like this. You shouldn't be acting like this, considering yourself wiser, smarter. Oh, we've got the inside scoop. You know what? Forget all that. Because if we can do that, if we can get our minds around this humility thing, if we can get our minds around this pride thing, this is what he says is going to happen. If we repent and pray, he says this in verse 15, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. Listen, we need to humble ourselves and pray, period. And I want to show you a video from a pastor who's helped Tiffany and I out quite a bit. He serves as like a mentor to us, like a distant apostolic elder over many churches called the Association of Related Churches. And he's really helped us to have a biblical foundation and to reach the lost. And him and a few others started a great movement, but I don't want to tell you all about it. I want to give him an opportunity to tell you about it. And it's in this video right here.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chris Hodges, pastor of Church of the Highlands in Alabama and one of the founders of ARC, the Association of Related Churches. In the wake of this global pandemic, I believe that God has made it clear in His Word what our response should be. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal their land. So on March 19th, we gathered some prominent ministry leaders from all over the nation to discuss how we could unite our churches together in prayer. We all shared the same heart to unite together to see the worldwide body of Christ resourced and activated to pray against this pandemic and for global revival. What began as a call with just 25 leaders has quickly grown into a global prayer movement. What started so small has grown to literally millions of people praying daily at 7:14 a.m. and 7:14 p.m. And around the world, hundreds of thousands of pastors and leaders are praying the same prayer in their weekend church services. And I want to personally invite you to join us as well. I truly believe that we will hear from heaven and God will heal our land. God bless you.
Unite 7:14. What a great concept. What a great concept to rally around this scripture. A global Christian unity movement that exemplifies prayer, humility, and repentance. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful is that? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it right now. Well, not right now, but right after this is over. I'm setting two alarms in my phone. And I want to encourage all of you to do this too. At 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 at night. Maybe 7:14 is when you should be waking up. But if you're already up, set that alarm. And whenever 7:14 comes around, either in the morning or at night, just stop. Lord, I just humble myself before you and I lift up this world to you and I pray that you would bring people into your kingdom as we humble ourselves and seek your face. Amen. You see how easy it can be. Now, if you've got more than that, go for it. But for some of you, just a few moments of stopping at each one of those times. Do you think it would make a difference in your life? Do you think it would make a difference in your family? Do you think it would make a difference in this country? Do you think it would make a difference in the world? I'm telling you, absolutely it will. It will. It will. I'm going to do this, and I want to invite you to do this with me. I know hearing about these days and times we're living in can be troubling. Even thinking about the world as we know it changing or even ending can be very stressful or bring anxiety on you. But let me encourage you. If you are in Christ, you have nothing to fear. Jesus will come and gather his bride, the church. And if we would simply stay alert, keep our lanterns lit, so to speak, we have absolutely nothing to fear. This is not a fear message. This is not a scare you into salvation kind of message. Not at all. If anything, this message could be summed up like this. Look up. He's coming. And that's a good thing if you know him. Look at the times. He's coming and it's good. Let's tell our friends and family. Let's gather together. Let's humble ourselves and pray. That's what this message is about. Look around. See the leaves changing color. Quote unquote, see the season changing. But that's not a scary thing or a bad thing. That just means we're getting closer to what God has promised us. Tiffany and I have lots of friends in the ministry, and I just introduced you to a mentor or an apostolic leader, but I want to take a moment to introduce you to a peer or a cohort that we have. Pastors Matt and Jackie Lacey over there in Fountain Church in Pleasanton. Whoop, whoop. Come on, shout outs to my Bay Area people right there. And we've got a lot of friends like that that we check in with and we talk to on every couple weeks. We're on the phone with each other and checking in and we're growing at the same pace. We're growing in the same direction. Keep each other encouraged when we need it. It's a real blessing. And you should just know that your pastor has pastors that are speaking into his life. And there's something really special. Actually, Pastor Jackie had a dream very recently. And it was a highly prophetic dream. Prophecy just means a spiritual prediction, something that will come to pass in the name of the Lord. And she had a dream, and I was so moved by it, I want to share it with you. I didn't ask her, but I know, but she posted it. So it's public domain, Jackie. You ought to know that. But she posted it out there so everyone could see it. And I want to share this dream with you that's very, very, it's chilling, but it's also encouraging. It says this: I, Jackie, had this dream. Matt was at the church filming. He was finishing up. And I told him the dream later. Both of us were floored at the timing of this. God is definitely speaking. She says, I had this dream this morning. I don't remember the specifics or what my family and I were doing, but I do remember this: seeing the Lord's leg, the bottom of his shield, and he was on his horse. He looked down at me and said, I'm coming soon. This is a dream that she had. Pastor, our friend. And then she says this: ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is on his horse. Matthew 4:17. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Revelation 19:11-16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written on it that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. So we know this is talking about Jesus. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And she finishes off her message with this: repent, pray, seek his face, evangelize. Repent, pray, seek his face, evangelize. If you feel overwhelmed, like you don't understand this topic too clearly, hey, listen, I understand that. I understand how this topic can have an effect on some people in a negative light, but in some it can have a different kind of effect in a positive way and actually bring people to repentance. Allow me to simplify what this topic can do for us if we are focused. All we need to remember is this: stay in an attitude of repentance. Stay in an attitude of prayer. Seek the Lord's face. That is, seek to know him personally, his face. Evangelize, which means don't just save this salvation for yourself. God has not called us to a selfish Christian life. He's called us to bring others in and be all things to all men so that others may know. Repent, pray, seek his face, evangelize, and repeat. I believe some of us here today might be ready to enter into that first call of repentance, to say, God, here I am. I give myself fully to you. Boy, if you're anything like me, that you've got a lot of sins to cover. You've got a lot of things in your life that nobody else may even know about, but you know, and you know you're not where you should be with God right now. Maybe you've never entered into a relationship with him, but maybe you used to walk with him, and right now you know you're not where you should be with him. I want to give you an invitation right now to be where you should be with him. And so when the day of the Lord does come, you'll be so ready. You'll be so ready. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Right where you're at, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my sin. Please forgive me. Fill me with your Spirit. Make me new. Direct me in the path I should take. Take my imperfections, my strength, and my weakness. I give it all to you and place myself firmly on the rock. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know so many people have just re-entered their relationship with Jesus, and some of you maybe even started a relationship with Jesus just now, and I want to tell you, I'm so proud of you. I'm so, so very proud of you. And so what I want to remind you to do, as we do every week, is if you made that decision especially, I want to remind you to join a group. Join one of our Zoom groups. Go to our website, jump on a Zoom group, and you gotta have some Christian friends in your life. Even during a pandemic, you can get them. If you just jump on that Zoom call, find a group of people that you can jive with and meet with them. Don't forget also, Unite 714. And everybody who's walking that path with us, come on, let's all pray twice a day. It doesn't have to be a long one, just something, anything. Just to stop, pray. Every time that phone buzzes, just get right back on there and humble yourself. Pray, seek his face, and continue. And lastly, I want to thank you again for your extreme generosity. Thank you guys so much. I really, really do appreciate it. There's a few ways to give right there below me. And I just am so floored by this church's generosity. If you feel led to give, you can please do so now. And you can rest assured that we're going to be a lifeline to this community as our generosity allows. Let me pray over you as we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray blessing on everyone listening to the sound of my voice right now. And I pray blessing over their health, Lord, over their relationships, God, and over their finances, all the things that tend to want to take us out. Lord, I pray blessing over these people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. And we will see you again very soon.